How are you doing today? I turned myself on, I did. Okay. Raise your hand if you like superhero movies. Superhero movies. Okay. Now, something you find about most superheroes is they have their secret identities, okay? They have their, like, trying to blend in with society, and they have their secret identities. Okay, a lot of these are really easy, really easy. Who knows the name of? Okay, we're going. Okay, this superhero. Hey, don't. What? I mean, he's. Okay. Faith. Okay, there we go. He can. She knows how to wait patiently. Okay, here we go. And I love this picture of him. Kind of looks kind of goofy and dorky. Okay. Is this not plugged in? What? No, they're both Christopher Reeves there. I made sure I found. Okay. Am I not plugged in on my clicker here? I need to do a. There we go. I need this plugged in. Okay. The name of this one, Devin.
Ben Affleck.
Okay.
Bruce Wayne.
Put up the next picture for me. Okay, there we go, Bruce Wayne. Here we go, and the next, my next superhero is, here we go, yes. Well, not Spider-Man, yes. Peter Parker. Okay, Peter Parker, okay. And, One more. This one's a little harder. Okay. Ben, you know it? What's his name? Bob Parr. There you go. Oh, that was a fail. Okay. Not Bob Shaw. Bob Parr. Okay. Shh. Hey, guys. Does this clicker work yet? Or we're not happy? Do I have no happy clicker today? Here. Okay, now, go back, I think the next slide, I can't remember. Go back to this slide with Superman here, okay? Now, one of the things about all these fake identities is they aren't who these people really are. Clark Kent, if you look in this picture, and if you, yeah, go keep up Clark Kent. Keep up Clark Kent for me. Okay, there we go. Okay, I don't know where Clark Kent looks, but if you go back to the original Superman, he always has that kind of dopey look on his face. When Christopher Reeves played Superman, he always is kind of like this clueless, like, oh, I don't know what's going on sort of person. And in reality, he is the Man of Steel. I mean, in terms of all superheroes, he's got the most ridiculous set of superpowers. I mean, he's as fast as Flash. He's got the X-ray vision. He can shoot laser beams out of his eyes. He can heat anything up. He can fly. He's got super strength. He can basically do anything. And then in all of the original Superman movies, he's kind of masquerading as this kind of airheaded guy, okay? He wasn't living under his real identity. And, you know, and then we, then as we look forward, okay, here, you just, give me a Bob Parr for me, okay? I think this is one of the best examples. You know, he's working in an insurance company, okay? He's working, and he is just frustrated. If you've seen the movie The Incredibles, he's just frustrated. He beats up his boss. He's so annoyed. I love that frustrated look of him sitting in traffic in a car that is way too big in it. He gets home, and he, like, smashes the car, and he picks it up and throws it, and there's that little kid like, I want to see something cool. Anyway. And he has to pretend really poorly to even be Bob Parr. He's forced to do it, and it kills him on the inside. And I think the same thing is true for you and for me. I think we have this incredible power called the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have this incredible life that God wants you and I to experience. And I think so often we live with this fake identity. We live as something far less than God designed us to be. We try to fit in with regular society. We try to be regular people, whatever. But God has something more for us. And we are missing it. We're stuck in this fake identity. We're stuck in a little car, just frustrated, annoyed at our lives. And I believe God has something greater for you and for me. You know, I know you've heard plenty of stories about dumb me in middle school, but again, if you met me in middle school, I wouldn't have talked to you. I wouldn't have said anything to you. I would have hid in the corner. See, I believed this identity that I was a loser, and that identity controlled me throughout my time in middle school, my freshman and sophomore years of high school, especially my freshman year of high school. That identity just absolutely controlled me. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't want to be around anyone. I was stuck in this, and I was frustrated with who I was. I was annoyed with who I was, and I was missing out the real identity that God had for me. See, even though I had been forgiven by God, even though I was a Christian, even though God called me his child, even though I had a Holy Spirit inside of me, I was ignoring all that and living under this false, fake identity. And today, as we're continuing our series in the book of 1 John, today I want to talk about how we can know our identity and what the identity God has for us is. John is going to exclaim very emphatically in 1 John 3 that you and I are children of God. But what does that mean, and how does that affect our lives? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, there's one other thing I need to explain before we can really dive in to 1 John 3. And I use this illustration a lot. I can't even remember who were the last two people who did it when I was here, when I was teaching one time. But remember how I need two volunteers. Two volunteers. Okay, I think it was you two last time. Okay, Andrew, Layton, come on up here. I know I've used you two for... It was Jared and Andrew. Okay, Jared, come on up here. Okay. It was Jared and Andrew last time. Thank you. But if you remember from when I used this analogy before, okay, you and I, if you are a believer in Christ, you have two parts of you, okay? You have the physical side of you, physical side, that's the Andrew side of you, and the spiritual side of you, okay? That's Jared, clearly spiritual beast right here, okay? I still love you, Andrew, okay? Now, both of you get on the ground real quick. Kneel on the ground. Okay, now, before you were born, okay, before you were born, you had neither spiritual life or physical life, okay? Now, the moment, you can argue about when birth life starts or anything like that. However you want to define that, I think God makes it pretty clear. Moment you were conceived, whatever, you had physical life, okay? The physical side of you came alive. But the spiritual part of you and I was dead from the beginning because of Adam and Eve's sin, our spiritual side. Each one of us is born spiritually dead. Now, when we are going through life, and for you, and maybe it was at a young age, for some of us volunteers in the room, maybe it was at an older age, the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the moment we said, yes, I believe Jesus Christ came into this world, lived a perfect life, and died on a cross for my sins and rose from the dead to give me life, the moment I believe that, it's not about my good works, my spiritual side comes alive, okay? Now, as I go through life, I kind of have a choice whether I'm feeding my flesh and all my sinful desires, or if I'm feeding this amazing specimen right here, while I'm feeding my spiritual life. And then ultimately, and that's kind of defines a lot of the ways that I live in life, okay? Then ultimately, one day, I will physically die, okay? I will physically die, but the spiritual side of me will live on in eternity in heaven. And in heaven, sorry, Andrew, in heaven, God will give us a new body, a new physical body. It won't have any of the corruption of our old earthly body. It won't have any of that things. Okay, now. I love you. Okay, you guys can both have a piece, a lollipop. You got a dum-dum. Oh, sorry. But okay, that truth, we're gonna need to remember that as we're talking about that as identity. Appreciate that, Andrew and Jared. I'm gonna pray for us. I'm gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna dive into 1 John 3. God in heaven, Lord, you have given us this identity as a child of God. And God, so many things are clouding that out. And so God, today I pray that you would speak to us through your word, that we would see your identity for us today, and that you would change our hearts through your word today. God, speak through your word to us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. 1 John 3, starting in verse 1, he says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." Okay? So he starts off, and he just really clearly puts it out there. You're a child of God. And I love how he says, and that's what we are. That is our identity. You know, you're not Bob Parr, okay? You're not the kind of that frustrated thing. You are Mr. Incredible. You are that child of God. That is your true nature and your true identity. Now, for us to have that identity, this verse says, it's because of God's love. It's God's demonstration of his love by sending Jesus into the world to live and to die for you and for me. We wouldn't have that identity without God's love. And so he starts off and says, God loves us. He's given us this true identity. And then he says, and that's why the world doesn't know us, is because it does not know him. You know, the world, if we go back to my two sides, the world only has that physical side. It only has that Andrew side of us, okay? And because the world only has that Andrew side, that's the reason why it doesn't completely understand God. Because it doesn't have the Jared side, because it doesn't have the spiritual side of us, that's what he's saying. That's why the world doesn't know God. Let's say, for example, if you're a Ravens fan in the room, I don't know any of those in this room, but there's something about Ravens fans. They're passionate about it, but Ravens fans don't necessarily get along with Steelers fans, right? Okay. There's a rivalry there. And I think what John and the Ravens fans are like, I can't understand why anyone would even be a Steelers fan, okay? But I think John's point here, as he's saying, the reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. It's like, hey, we got something in us that the world can't relate to, can't understand, can't know. And that's why it's going to... That's why it doesn't know us, and he's going to talk later about that's why it's going to hate us, because it just can't understand and comprehend it. Go to verse 2 for me, 2 and 3 in the back. Thank you. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Okay? So he starts off and he reminds us we're children of God. He establishes this. That's done. That's a fact. You know, Mr. Incredible is Mr. Incredible. He doesn't need to prove that he is Mr. Incredible. That's in his nature, that he has to keep helping people. In our nature, at our core, we are children of God. Now, what we will be hasn't yet been made known. What he's saying there is we don't know exactly what the future and what heaven will look like. We don't know exactly what our new bodies in heaven will look like. But we know that we will be going there if we believe in Christ, and he's gonna talk about this more in chapter 5, that if we believe in Christ, we should know we have eternal life. There should be a certainty about it. So we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but there's a certainty behind it. And he says, all who have this hope in him, all who believe in him, will be purify themselves, will be pure just as he's in, as it, just as he is pure. He's talking a lot about what you read in other passages of Scripture, like 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He's reminding us of that truth, that because of what Jesus has done, we have God's purity. We have his forgiveness. That's part of that identity of you being a child of God, is that you are forgiven. We're going to get back to that more later on. Verse 4 and 5, he reiterates this point. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. He's saying sin is a big deal. Can't minimize it or hide from it. It is sin. But you know that he, that's Jesus, appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:21 is right there. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus came to be sin and take our sin. And that is part of my identity. That's already dealt with. I'm forgiven. That's gone. I don't have to worry about that sin. Now, he's going to get into something that I'll say it's a really difficult and confusing passage of Scripture, okay? So he's going to make some really strong statements, and I'm going to read them, and then we're going to stop, and I'm going to explain them, okay? So next verse, verse 6 says this. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Go to the next verse, please, 9 and 10. No one who has been born of God practices sin, because his seed, that's God's seed, abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one, nor the one who does not love his brother. Now, as you read that passage, you heard that passage, you heard a lot of really strong statements like, no one who's born of God practices sin, okay? No one who's a follower, you know, and no one who's a follower of God is going to sin. And you probably heard that and you're like, that could be a problem because I'm a child of God. I think I'm a follower of God. And yet, I don't know about you, but I know that I still sin, okay? Do we have anyone here that's perfect? Okay, in Christ? Yeah. By myself? No. Okay, now, there are a lot of different explanations people have tried or used on this passage. There's some people who are going to say from this passage, it means that if you sin, you're not a Christian, and if you've sinned, you're like done. Now, here's the problem. You and I sin, okay? And now they would go back to like 1 John 1:9, which says if we confess with our... confessed and forgiven. Yeah, I see, I was doing Jesus as Lord, but it's not that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There we go. And so they're just going to say, hey, what it is you're a child of God when you confess your sins, then you sin and you're not a child anymore. Then you confess your sin and you're a child again. Then you sin and you're not a child again. And you confess your sin and you're a child again. You go back and forth. Now, people here, I'm assuming most of you have parents, okay? You have parents. It's not like one day they're like, you're my child. The next day you aren't my child. Then you are my child. And you're not my child. You are my child. You're not my child. Doesn't work that way. Your biological parents will always be your biological parents. It's not something that you can change. And And I hope you see like how that just doesn't work and doesn't fit with the nature of God. You know, John 17, he talks about he who believes has everlasting life. John 6 talks about how we are held by God and no one can take us out of his hand. There should be a security in our relationship with God. And so this passage does not mean that if you sin, you're somehow like out of the kingdom. Some people will say this passage is only talking about people who are in habitual sin and who are repeat offenders. Again, I would say the problem is I struggle with sin. And there's a lot of areas where I would say I'm a repeat offender. You know, going back to chapter 1, he says, if you say you don't have any sin, you make God out to be a liar. Let's be real. We each have sins and we each have problems. And so what I really think this passage here is talking about is it's talking about our identity. He says, if I'm living out, what I really think he's trying to say is, if I'm living out that identity as a child of God, if I'm really understanding that identity as a child of God, I'm not going to deal with sin. Galatians talks about, Galatians 5, he says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the lusts of the flesh. And he's saying, look, as you choose your identity of what identity you're going to live out, if I'm really saying, yes, this is the identity as a child of God, the child of God doesn't have to deal with this if I'm really living out that identity. But so often, I go back to that secret identity that I want to keep. Look, I have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me, changing me. Empowering me to love others, to serve God, to serve my family, to do all those things. And I have that superpower in me. But I choose to hide for a variety of reasons. I'm just Mr. Bob Parr, frustrated insurance salesman. I mean, I hope you know, just for myself, how much, like, I would love for that Jared side, that Jared identity, to just be rocking in my life. You want that. I'm thinking, you guys, you don't want to be frustrated by the way you're living. You want something better, that you're like, God, I think you have something more in my life, but I'm just stuck here. I'm frustrated with where I'm at. And that's what John is talking about here. He's like, he talks about in verse 7 how let no one deceive you. Satan's deceiving you. He's robbing you of life and saying that you're stuck and you're stuck in this, and you just have to hide behind all the, hide from really who you are. I mean, it's like, sorry, another Disney reference here. It's like Elsa in Frozen. I mean, she just hides so much. There you go. It's like Elsa in Frozen. She just hides so much. You know, she could have had this great relationship, but she has these powers and she just hides from it. And God is like, I have this power there. My Holy Spirit is inside of you. That identity that I give you as my child is there. And I'm hiding from it. I'm ignoring it. Again, Mr. Incredible, it's the same thing. There's just that power there that he has, but he just, he knows there's something greater and he's hiding from it. And back to verse 8, where it says that he came, Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. God is there in you to destroy that work, to destroy those lies that are keeping you and I hidden. Okay, moving on to verse 13. Thank you, people in the back. You're doing an awesome job. He says, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. He's repeating that concept. Again, if they only have the physical side, yeah, there's going to be a struggle between you and the world. He says, don't be surprised if the world hates you. And then in verse 14 to 16, he's going to set up another set of harsh absolutes. He says, you know, we know that if we have passed from death to life because we love one another, anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. He's going to, again, very similar, he's talking about our identity in Christ, or our false identity. Our false identity has murder, anger, frustration. Our true identity, we're willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's going to talk more about this in chapter 4 and 5, about how we know that we're a Christian. But he's saying that's one of the evidences of our true identity. As a child of God, I'm willing to sacrifice for other people because I know Jesus laid down his life for me. Verse 19 and 20 say this. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. I love how this verse here says, man, you might be struggling, you might be confused, or any of those things. But remember, we know that God is greater than our hearts. That identity that we have in Christ is far more powerful, far richer, far truer than that fake identity. And we're going to talk about this in just a second, but I think I live so much thinking, well, that fake identity is all I got. That's so powerful, I can't do anything about it. And we live in fear, and we accept that fake identity. And finally, he closes with verse 23, and he says this, and this is his commandment, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another just as he commanded. And I highlight this verse because he's not saying this is all about a whole list of great works and things you can do, and that's how you get to heaven. He brings it back to that belief, and as it flows from my belief in God, I'm going to love other people. Now, if I could summarize all that John is talking about in this chapter, I'd summarize it into two things, okay? First of all, he would say, know your identity. Know your identity as a child of God. And second, he would say, live out that real, true identity. Live it out by fleeing from sin, by loving other people, by sacrificing for other people. And again, I think I hide from that identity so often. And as I try to think through, like, why would I hide? What would cause me to hide? I'm gonna reference again some of our superheroes. Okay, let's go to Elsa here. Why was Elsa hiding? Elsa, anyone want to tell me? Fear. Okay, she's hiding out of fear. She's afraid of what other people would think. She's afraid that she's going to hurt other people. She's afraid that people think that she's a monster. She's afraid she can't control her power and that she's going to do something bad. And I think you and I hide from our true identity so often because of our fears. You know, this passage here has told us conflict's going to happen with the world. And we're like, look, if I really come out as this Christian, as this child of God, people could make fun of me. It's going to be conflict. I don't have to deal with that. I'm afraid of what other people are going to think about me. And so we allow our fears to rob us of our true identity. Superman. Why does Superman hide? All right. See, he uses that lie, but I don't think, well, depends on what episode of Superman. I feel like Superman constantly changes. Anyone want to take a guess why Superman hides? To get a job. Make his life. So he can live a normal life, okay? That's a good answer. Superman, I think he just wants to fit in. He wants to get the girl. Okay, he wants to have the people love him for his character and not for his superpowers. He doesn't just want to be a celebrity freak and all that stuff. And I think there's elements of that that sound noble, but again, it depends on what episode you're talking about. His dad is always encouraging him, you're here for a purpose, you're here for a reason, you're here for a mission. And I think God would say the same thing to you and for me. I think so often I just want to blend in with the world. I don't want to do the things the Bible tells me. I don't want to live out my faith because I just want to blend in. I want to look like everyone else. I'm doing the same things. I'm talking the same way. I'm dressing the same way. I'm watching the same thing. I'm doing all the same things as the world because I don't want to stick out. I don't want to stick out. And I think God sent us here for a very specific purpose. He has us here for a reason. And that's where our life is found, in living out that reason and living out that mission. And I think John would be just crying out to me, saying, Aaron, you're a child of the Most High God. The Most High God has loved you in a radical way. What are you doing trying to look like everyone else? Why does Mr. Incredible hide? Anyone? Because of the government. Okay. It is kind of because the government. There you go. Oh, yeah. Kind of because the government. I think Mr. Incredible is hiding because he's just trying to do what he's supposed to do, and it's just easier that way. I think for us, it's easier just to stay inside and hide. It's easier for us to just watch TV and play video games and to embrace what God has for me. It takes more effort. It takes more effort to feed that Jared side, the spirit side of us, than it does to feed our flesh. And I don't know exactly what it is for you, but I think those are some of the core reasons why I hide. I hide out of fear. I hide because I want to fit in. I hide because it's just easier. But God wants that true identity to reign out in you, in me. Our true identity as a child of God, I think, means three things for us, okay? If I'm really living out this identity, I believe God has three things for us that he's talking about here in 1 John. So if I am a child of God, you go to the next slide. It first means that I am forgiven. Part of being a child means that we have received grace. I don't expect my kids to be perfect. They are kids. Now, that grace was very costly for us. It cost Jesus his life on the cross. But what makes you a child of God is that you are forgiven. And Satan loves to throw at you that you're a loser, that you're a failure, that God hates you. I know that's a lie that I believed for years of my life, and it robbed me of so much life, that I'm a loser, that I'm terrible, God hates me. But the God of the universe says, I chose to die for you. I've paid for all that junk, all that stuff that Satan wants to throw at you. Oh, remember why you did that? Remember how you did that? He kind of pokes you. You can't say you're a Christian because you I know the way you live. God says, I died for those things. You are my child. You know, I've visited a lot of babies in hospitals, right? Okay. You've seen a lot of babies in hospitals. There's a reality. Some babies are really cute. Some babies are not as cute as others, okay? Just being real, okay? But you know what? When that baby is being held by his mom and his dad, that mom and the dad look at their kid and say, man, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. As a child of God, the God of the universe is looking down at you and he's looking down at me and he's saying, man, you are a beautiful thing that I made. I'm calling you my child. Don't be listening to these lies that you're a sinner, a terrible, messed up person. God is saying, you are my child and you are forgiven. Next thing I think it means, because I'm a child of God, I am secure. I am secure. I talked about this earlier. No parent is, you know, you can't just be like, hey, you're my kid one day, you're not my kid the next day, you're my kid the next, you know, not kid, 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 not kid, I don't care. It doesn't go like that. Biologically, once you're a kid, you will always be that kid. In the same way,
There is a permanence in our relationship with God. It's not changing. It's not going anywhere. There's that power that God has, and there's no kryptonite that can take that away. Okay? No matter how bad you are and become, God, still, if you have started that relationship with God, you are stuck in that relationship with God. And praise God that he would do that for you and for me. There's a security that comes from that. I love, again, how verse 1 starts. You are, what great love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. And again, Satan is going to throw all these things at you that God doesn't love you anymore, especially when you're dealing with hard times, when whether it's a hard time inflicted by your own sin and poor choices or a hard time of just some other mess is going on around you. Man, when it just looks hard, it is so easy to start thinking God doesn't love me, but he says you are secure. The last thing I want to highlight is, because I'm a child of God, I am empowered. You know, always frustrated me that Elsa hid, okay? Because I'm like, look, girl, why don't you just walk out there and go, zoo, and you can freeze everyone. And like, hey, you should, you're just going to listen to me because I have these superpowers, okay? It wouldn't be a lot. It wouldn't be a great movie, a good selling movie, does it? And she could go and dominate, okay? But she hides from that power. And I love Ephesians 1. It says this: having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. You and I have the Holy Spirit inside of us. That is a guarantee that we will spend an eternity with God in heaven. And that Holy Spirit empowers us in radical ways to do things that we naturally could not do on our own. We have that superpower inside of you and me. And we need to start living that out instead of hiding from it. You know, I have, through the power of the Spirit, I've seen my friends come to know the Lord. I've had victory over sin. I've experienced joy in the middle of crazy things and peace in those times. I've seen what the Spirit does in my life. And so often I'm like, dude, I know I could be that, but I'm just going to hide. I'm going to hide. I'm going to hide. I'm going to hide. And I close with this. You know, I've been through periods of my life where loser was my identity, and that controlled me. I've been in through periods of my life when addict was my identity, and that controlled me. I've been through periods of my life where I haven't thought God could love me, God could care about me, or any of those things. And when I was in those periods of life, I missed out on so much. I was just like Bob Parr, just frustrated, annoyed, and mad. And just, ugh. I missed out on so much when I could have experienced so much more. And God says he has a real identity for us as a child of God. And he asks us to believe that by faith. Believe by faith that I am that child. And live that out by faith. And my challenge for you, and really my challenge for me, is simply that. Look, by faith, what am I going to live out today? Am I going to live out a life forgiven, secure, empowered as a child of God? Or am I going to keep living under this fake identity, the secret, it sounds cool in all the movies, but it's not. Am I just going to live out that kind of secret, ho-hum, average life? Or really live out that power, that security, that life that God has for you and me? Let me pray. God in heaven, I thank you so much that you have come into this world, lived a perfect life, and died on a cross for me. and you rose from the dead. And because of that, anyone who believes in that, you bestow on us the right to be your children. That is what we are because of our faith in you. And God, I come before you and I thank you and I praise you for that, God. And God, I pray that we would know that we are your children, Lord. That God, that you would protect our minds from the lies of Satan. That you would protect our hearts from the lies of Satan, saying that we're failures, that we're losers, that you don't care about us, that you don't love us, Lord. But God, that we would know that we are your children. And God, as your children, we would live out empowered by your Spirit for the missions that you have for us, to care for the people around us, to live a life at peace and at joy. God, you have so much for us, God. And I pray, Lord, that we would know that in rich and deep and real ways, God, that we would not live in the fake, live under these silly identities, but that we would know our true identity as children of the King of the universe, Lord. God, with that, because you died for us, and I thank you and I praise you for that. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.